Thank you, Scott. Welcome to our group. Thank you, Natalie. And it's a warm, cozy, fuzzy group, and we welcome you. Thank you.
Okay, great, great. I'm Scott. I'm a compulsive eater, and I've been coming to OA for over 20 years now, and I don't remember being on this particular meeting, but I'm happy to be able to talk a little bit about, you know, what my life was like before I came in and how the program has helped me. My story is like, you know, that I started out from my earliest memories as a kid, from like when I was probably about 5 years old, you know, sneaking food like from my parents, you know, like sneaking extra sugar to put on my cereal when they weren't looking, you know, like waiting till they went out of the room, you know, and then just getting, you know, just stuff like that that I didn't, you know, I didn't know what to make of anything at that age, of course. But as I got older and older and I could look back on things, I could start to see patterns develop. But it wasn't until I came into my first meeting when I was 25 that I got that piece of knowledge, that insight, that thing that was, it never occurred to me that I had a sickness. You know, it was always like, well, you know, I have to find a way to control this. You know, I have to keep trying to control it, you know, doing whatever I can, you know, so that I don't, so that I stop eating when I get full, you know, because I would just, I mean, my way was, the natural thing for me just seemed like, you know, you eat and you get, you know, you eat and then it tastes good to you. So you eat more, and I would eat more, and then I would get full and I wouldn't feel like eating anymore, but I would keep eating. You know, it was just almost like an automatic thing, you know, like I was programmed to do it. Like, you know, no matter how much sense it didn't make to, you know, no matter how much I knew I was hurting myself, I would just, I would eat more. And sometimes I would just like black out, or I would eat into oblivion, you know, but I mean, it wasn't like, it wasn't really quite that extreme, you know, when I was in my younger years. It was like, my weight would go up and down within like within maybe a 10 pound range, you know, at a certain age. As I got older, within a 20 pound range, and then within a 30 pound range, and the range would get bigger and bigger, would get wider and wider as I got older. And, you know, I mean, as I sort of had experienced less and less control, you know, as I got older, you know, it says, and it talks about in the big book, it's a progressive illness. And I've thought a lot about that, you know, what that means. And it's just, you know, I have less and less control in one way or in other ways as time goes on without program. So, you know, there was, my story is like doing all kinds of things I could try to do to control it. And I would, when I realized that I couldn't just control it you know, just by sheer willpower, I started getting creative by the time I was like in probably 11th grade. And there was, and as I got older, you know, there was a thing like where I would move out of my home, and I would live by myself, so I didn't have food around me, and I would avoid certain friends or going certain places where there wasn't food, and I would avoid going to certain grocery stores to get food, to avoid certain food. And I would there's all kinds of variations of that, you know, but just doing little tricks and little, playing little games and things like that to get myself to not think about the food or to try to control it. One of my favorite things was like the geographic cure, where I would move, or I would go on a trip, you know, and I would go on a trip, and then I would, because I love to travel, you know, and I, you know, after I got out of high school, I loved always, anytime I got a chance to travel and get away, I like to do it. And I think that's like part of the escapism, you know, that comes with like the eating, you know, there's different, I think that's part of the illness, the underlying illness is just trying to escape, trying to fill like a void. I don't really know or understand all that's going on. I just know that like there's something different, you know, about me because I have this illness. There's something that's broken. There's something about the signals that my, you know, that my brain gets, you know, and so anyway, I the geographic cure became this thing where I would like go on a trip and I would use the thrill or the excitement of traveling as a substitute for the food. And it worked pretty good. You know, one time I went to Asia for like, for 9 weeks and I was like, okay, this is my opportunity to lose weight. And I did, you know, and I lost all this weight and I got down to a healthy weight and I was like, okay, finally, you know, I remember thinking this, like, finally I got down to, I was like, I went to Bali, then Thailand, then India, and I had some time to do it, you know, financially, I had some time to do it, and I was like, this is, and then I finally got to right where I wanted to be by the time I was ready to go back, and I was like, okay, this is it, I'm done now, I'm not going to go back to the food, you know, now that I look good and I feel good, there's no reason I'm going to go back to it, and that's like the insidious lie, you know, that's always that the sickness always tells me, like, you know, I mean, once I get to this point, I'm going to stop, you know, and I'm going to be done with it, you know, and it just never happens. It does for a while, but it's just, it could be quickly or it could be slowly, but I'm always going to like lose the war with the food, you know, like, you know, I'll win some battles some days, some weeks I'll do well, I'll have periods of doing well, but I'm always going to like lose that war. Like over the long run, I'm always going to lose the war, which for me means like binge eating. I mean, that's my illness, how it plays out. I don't restrict. I don't, purge. I just like binge, you know, and I get heavy and I get heavier and heavier. And then, it's an exhausting illness because it's always just like fighting it and not having the power to be able to control it. It's like, you know, you fight battles every day, some you win, some you lose, but you're in a state of warfare, and warfare is exhausting. It takes all my time and my resources, it diverts them away from other things I could be doing to be productive in my life. And that's the thing that's painful, because, you know, I like the idea of making the most out of my life and making every day count, and as everybody should. And you know, but I don't, like it says, I don't wish to, so like it says in the big book, you know, it says like, we don't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. I have to remind myself of that, you know, that, whatever happened, it's stuff that I can learn from. And ultimately it's stuff that I can use to help, other people, you know, by being a messenger, and either by sharing in meetings or by whatever. There's so many people out there. I mean, all day, every day, there's people all around me that are suffering from this. And you know, I mean, I have this message of hope and freedom from this, from being trapped in this illness without a way out, without the knowledge of how to get out of it. So, you know, that's really the key to keeping what I have, is just by being a messenger and delivering the message to other people, and you know, like leading a leading horse to water, and you can't make him drink, and most people who hear the message aren't gonna choose to do this, but I'm just the messenger. So let me jump back a little bit to what I was saying before. Some of the things I did to try to control it. I was talking about, well, let me talk about some of the behavior, like I would, that I was crazy. I would, like, when I would go shopping in grocery stores, I would start eating my food out of the cart because I couldn't wait to get to checkout counter and buy it and get to the car and start eating it while I was driving, which, I couldn't even do that. It wasn't because I wanted to be a thief or anything. I just, I was too impatient. When I want to eat, it's like overwhelming in a way that just intellectually doesn't make any sense. It doesn't compute, but it overwhelms me. Let me see. Okay. Well, let me see. I would smoke cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes for a while as a way of controlling it. And, I would chew gum and, I didn't do this like other people did it. Like I just like take a few puffs on a cigarette or something, or have a stick of gum. I would chain smoke. I would smoke one cigarette after another. And I would smoke one, or, and then before I even put it out, I would light up another one, and I mean, fortunately I was able to just to quit that like over 20 years ago, but I realized it was just time to quit one day, and I quit, but I did that for many years, and it helped me in a way. It helped a little bit to control the food because it was, it had things in common with eating, with binge eating, because it was represented some kind of way to fill up some kind of hole or something through tasting something, or smelling something. And then with gum, I wasn't like other people because I would just take like a pack of gum and I would chew it one after another, like it was candy, and I would chew it till my mouth was numb, it wasn't the normal way you do it. So that was me. And so then there was one time. So then there was this another story. Is like there before, right before I walked into my first meeting, there was this some kind of like a diet, some kind of an office that was running some kind of a diet program, and I went in there one day and I just remember going in there and saying, listen, I'm desperate. All I need to do is like commit what I'm going to have to somebody. And since you're doing this, you'll probably understand. And I just wanted to be able to come by and commit like what I'm going to eat, and, I hadn't looked into anything at this point, but I was like right at that breaking point where I was like, well, maybe I need some kind of help. And so that I just remember walking in there and the guy kind of like smirking and like condescendingly looking at me like, I don't do that. I'm like, are you trying to be funny or something? You can pay us and we have this diet for you and we'll be happy to take your money. And, and I was like, wow. I was like, okay. I was just trying to be creative and think of something. And then that was the seed of like what program was, in a way, because it involved like, OA program was like involved, a sense of accountability amongst other things to other people. So it was about a few months after that, I saw an ad for OA and I walked into a meeting. And for me, I didn't know what to make of it at first. It was just very, I don't know, just like a very radical idea, And I never thought of myself as being sick or having having an illness. It says, and then the 12 steps were read, and it said in step two that we could be, that it said that, everybody said they came to believe in a power greater than themselves that could restore them to sanity. So I was like, well, I don't need to be restored to sanity because I'm already sane. And, you know, I come from a healthy family and I'm healthy in other ways. So it was just kind of bizarre, you know. But I was desperate to find something because what I was doing wasn't working. And so I listened and I came back to another meeting the next day, and I kept coming back every 2 or 3 days. I would keep coming back to these meetings and just listening, and slowly considering it, and slowly opening up to it. And I got the AA Big Book, which of course is what we use. And we change alcohol to food and alcoholism to compulsive eating. So I read it, started reading it a little bit every day. I got a sponsor pretty quickly because I was like, well, it's worth giving it a try just because what else, you know. I was like, Why not give it a try? I mean, I was open-minded. I was very open-minded. I still am. I'm lucky because I've always just naturally been an open-minded person. I don't have a conservative type of way of thinking where I'm not willing to change or anything. I'm always willing to listen to new ideas. So that's it was beneficial for me. I grew up like in a secular household, so I was very lucky. I consider myself very lucky because I didn't have any bias or anything against spirituality or religion or anything like that. So I love the idea that that people were talking about how they found a higher power, but they weren't saying that it was like different from any church or anything, because it was like, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe, you just have to believe in something. It's just you have to find something that works for you, and it could be what I believe or it could be different, it doesn't matter. That was very attractive to me because you know, it was like just you know, it was the process. It was like putting, it was like the message was like, you put, like, I gotta put your faith in the process. This is how all these people in the room have gotten this recovery and have gotten years or decades of like recovery from compulsive eating. And this is how, you know, the first 100 people who wrote, the consensus of the first 100 people or so who wrote the book of AA had this remarkably high percentage of recovery for all the people that, all the people that came in at the beginning. There was a very, very high percentage of people that had this recovery. And so that was the evidence, you know. Those things were the evidence for me to put my faith, because for me, faith is like believing in something without evidence. So putting my faith in this wasn't really accurate to say it was faith. It was belief. It was like it gave me the ability to go from faith to belief. You know, belief is something that, for me, that, you know, scientifically speaking, it's like there's evidence, and that was where the evidence was, that these people had a higher power, and they said you just have to find one. So I started looking, and then over time, that's definitely evolved. I mean, the target of my belief in a higher power, that's the description of that has changed and evolved over time. But the important thing is that it works. And so when I came in, so one of the things that has changed for me is my understanding. Sometimes I wish I was an alcoholic or a drug addict instead of having this illness, because it would be more black and white. You know, it would just be like, okay, I put the booze down and now I'm not drinking and now I'm sober. But it's much more gray and subtle and insidious. I feel Step one says that I'm powerless. Says that I'm powerless over alcohol. I used to think that I was really a food addict, like people that are drug addicts or alcoholics. But I've come to think now that I'm a compulsive eater, like some people gamble compulsively, you know, and then they steal money so that they can keep gambling and do crazy things. Certain foods are scientifically proven to be physically addictive, specifically like refined sugars. There's plenty of evidence for that. And my body may have a physical allergy to certain foods. And that it's triggered once I take the first compulsive bite. But the big book says really that the message is that the main problem is a mental illness or sickness that centers in my mind. And compulsive eating is my main symptom of this underlying sickness. So if I'm sponsoring people, that's what I always try to emphasize right now, not to, that, you know, that I don't try to control the food. I mean, there was a time where I used to do that more. I used to work a lot with my food, with my sponsor, but right now I work with my sponsor on just really living my life in the steps, because that's the, you know, literally following the big book as close as possible and not, you know, mixing other messages in with it, just keeping it pure. I think that's the biggest reason for the most recent success that I've had. You know, having gone through the steps, you know, I stay in step 10, 11, and 12. Step 10 is like, as I go through the day, learning to develop this instinct or second nature, where it's very unnatural, but when I get disturbed, I stop and I deal with it. And it says that, you know, we should, in the big book, it says that we should talk to somebody, or if we have an amends to make, you know, make it right away because of something we might have done to somebody or the way we affect people, or if it's just a disturbance. It says that we should turn it over to our higher power, and we should do something to help somebody, like right away, to be helpful and to get out of our minds, our mindset that we're in, which is, you know, if I'm disturbed, it's like, okay, typically it'll be like, well, I'm getting, you know, it could be something small, like I'm getting impatient when I'm in traffic, you know, and instead of just like sweeping it under the carpet, if I deal with it head on, you know, I say, okay, this is how I was feeling, and so if I can help somebody, if I can call like a newcomer or whatever I can do to be useful and get out of myself, that's part of the recovery. And let me see. What else? Trying to think. I guess what I'll say is that since I came into the program, I mean, everybody has like their different experiences. It's been amazing. Like, I've seen so many different ways that people have experiences that people have had. Like, you know, people come in, sometimes they get abstinent right away. They're like, okay, I've had enough. I don't ever want to go back to that. I have something that works. Other people, you know, it takes 10 years or 20 years before they hit that bottom and they hit that level of desperation. For me, it's like I came in and it took a few months, and then I got like, I got abstinent, you know, it was like I got struck abstinent. All of a sudden, boom, bam, you know, I was, instead of fighting with the food, I had that freedom that it talks about, where, you know, I don't have to fight it anymore. I have, it's taken away. I'm recovered. And everything that goes along with that, as long as I continue to do my part, it's arrested on a daily basis. And, you know, the symptom of compulsive eating and obsession with food is arrested on a daily basis, is what I'm saying. And then And then so what happened that time was that I lost weight, and I got down to a healthy body weight, and then I started getting confident and complacent, and then I started like slacking up on my meetings and my tools, and then all of a sudden I'm eating compulsively again. I'm like, how did this happen? And they say that there's a saying, the food is the last thing to go, which means that all these other behaviors, all these other things I've adopted as a way of life, you know, as a new way of life, being in the program, all those things drop off before the food drops off. And then the food is the last thing to go. It's not the first thing to go. And that's always been the way it's been with me. I have had many, many, many times where I've gone through this pattern, this like vicious pattern. And, you know, that's the honest truth. You know, it's like I get struck abstinent, and I get this gift of abstinence, and then I go with it, and I'm so grateful for it. And then I lose it, and then I'm compulsively eating and binge eating, and my weight goes up, and then I start putting all my energy back in the program, and then I get struck abstinent again. That's been the way it has been for me, and I'm just describing it because that's the way it's been for me, and it's different for everybody. Other people might have variations of that. Other people may have very different stories. So anyway, I guess my point is just that, you know, everybody's different, and you know, I just have to start off every day. You know, I start off every day with the third step prayer, which is like my favorite prayer, and it's just, you know, it's. You know, it's the one that works. It's the one that, you know, it's my favorite one. And I also start out by reading reading on page 84 where it says on awakening, and there's a few pages there where it says on awakening, you know, the instructions of what to do as we start our day. I was also very resistant at the beginning to the idea of OA, based on the fact that once I knew everything and I read the big book a few times, I was like, well, I like to learn. I want to learn more. I want to continue to learn. I don't want to just hear the same thing and hear people's stories over and over again, because I love to learn and I love education. And I want to, you know, if I'm going to go to a meeting or, you know, if I'm going to go to a class or a seminar, I love things like that. And I love learning about all kinds of different things. I was like, well, you know, but OA, it's just like I'm hearing the same thing over and over again. But that's how it is, whether I like it or not. It's like that saying goes, repetition is nature's way of permanence. You know, just hearing the same simple thing over and over and over again is the way we make it a permanent thing, and the way we have permanent recovery, because really recovery is just, it's just every day. It's new for that day, but it's permanent if we repeat the same pattern. And it's a very simple program, but it's not easy. And what makes it hard for me is just, you know, having to do the same thing every day. You know, I'm not a person that, you know, likes, I guess I don't naturally like structure, you know, I like starting things more than I like maintaining things, you know. I like learning new things and discovering new things rather than, when I have something, you know, maintaining it, you know. That's just me, you know. But that's one of the things that makes it hard for me. But I think I'm gonna wrap it up with that. So, yeah. So I'm gonna leave it with that. So thanks everybody for listening. And I'm Scott, and can I give out my contact information?
Yes, please. Scott, thank you so much. It's so kind of you to join us this evening and share your tender story with us. Please feel welcome to put your information in the chat line. And we have about 7 to 8 minutes left. And are you open to Q&A, or would people just, or, and the floor is open for people to share? And maybe just take, I don't know if we agree on 1 or 2 minutes share time. So everything's open right now. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I'll jump in. Are you okay with me mentioning a couple things that you said?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, absolutely. Great. Yeah, when you said, oh my God, it was so relatable. When you said, once I get to that spot, I'll be done with it. And oh my God, that's been my story. You know, once I've suffered from dysmorphia for a long time, even when I was super fit and in, you know, great shape and a tiny, tiny body frame and all that, I still thought, you know, if only I could get my belly more flat. I thought I had, you know, like rhinoceros thighs. I didn't in reality. The fat was on my brain. But only if I could get down to this, only if I could do that, then I'll be fine. You know, wow. And then also, sadly, but, you know, relatable again, when you said exhausting illness, always fighting it. And you know, it's true. It always has been that way. And let's see. Yeah, the food is the last thing to go. That's one that I have to, no pun intended, chew on for a while. So thank you for sharing.
I'm Natalie, compulsive overeater. And Scott, thank you so much for your share. And as was mentioned, I think the one that, there's a couple of things you said. One is just to, I believe what you meant or what you said was to just go back to the big book and get back to just keeping it simple and following the guidelines. And for me, I have alcoholic foods that I cannot eat, because when I put them in my body, I don't have any control. I'm not going to go on a binge and lose my consciousness and do some things like an alcoholic might, but I will go on a binge and eat until I'm in a foggy state. And then I will suffer the next morning and be a terrible person to be around, because I'll be having withdrawal. And then I have to have more, because I have now awakened the craving. And so even if I try to have, you know, give it up, I have to go through all that again. It's just easier not to have it. And then also what was mentioned, which is, I forgot what was mentioned. So that means I don't need to say anything about it. Okay, that's it for me. And thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you, Natalie. We have 5 minutes left for sharing.
My name's Lena Jane, and I started laughing, Scott, when you said I was always great at starting things. So I related to that. And I also related, like tonight, I forgot we had a speaker, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go on Zoom, because I was like, I don't want to do this over and over again. So I related to that too. And I'm so grateful. And I said, just go get on Zoom, because you've got to do this, because it was a real gift to hear you. So thank you.
Hi, this is Rocio, compulsive overeater. I really identify with the part of seeking travel as a form of, you know, filling the void. You know, I just got all this equipment to go start going to different national parks around the states. And I was sitting for a moment and asking myself that question, is this another type of escape? So thank you. I think I got my answer. So I love your talk. Thank you.
Scott, I would like to ask you to lead us out with the third step prayer. So I thought I'd mention it now if you have to go find it. Thank you, Natalie. Pass.
Scott, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit. I know you mentioned that you live in 10, 11, and 12. How do you do 10 and 11? How do you do it? I'd like to hear a little more about that.
Well, the way I do it, basically with my sponsor, you know, is that I write down a 10th step, and let me pull it up right now. I'll see if I can pull up a sample of one that I did. I ask higher power to remove my fear, selfishness, dishonesty, and self-seeking. I wrote, I feel a bit anxious due to some small problems I'm having with my computer and my technology not working. I'm getting a little frustrated. Asked God to keep me from giving room to little unimportant things that get in the way of my serenity. Text is a newcomer. You know, just something simple like that, whatever it is. I try not to sweep it under the carpet. And if I have one of them, or if I have 20 of them a day, it doesn't matter. But there's always like something there. And it could be doing something harmful to somebody else, either in my head or actually doing something, which becomes an amend if I hurt them. And I think of the end of the day, my 11th step being something I text over my 11th step to my sponsor, and it's like it's a summary of any 10 steps I have through the day, and then it's just like a template which I follow, which is just it's just basically a template which takes like all the questions like right out of the big book, where it talks about about 11th step. It says, were we this, were we this, were we this? And I say, yes, no, yes, no. What could we have done to be more helpful? Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's pretty much how I would sum it up.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Scott. Really, truly, thank you for joining us, and I hope that you get to join us again. We are always here every Tuesday night.